Labs, it's Grace from Future ADHD, and welcome to a very special holiday edition of my podcast, which is going to launch in January 2023. So this is a sort of sneak peek, a bit of a taster for what's to come, and I'm really delighted to have you here. Welcome. So I have been thinking a lot and chatting to my community in my email list, on my Instagram feed about this concept of self-care around the holidays and tips and strategies for neurodivergent brains. And I have lots and lots of thoughts to share. So if you're someone who loves listening to your information in your earbuds, in your headphones while you're walking, keep on listening because I'm going to share some ideas and strategies and things that have really helped me. And I've tried to pick things that aren't as commonly kind of talked about. So you won't find bubble baths or face masks or booking yourself a spa voucher, even though those things are also lovely. I wanted to try and sort of uncover and excavate the concepts that are a bit closer to home, that maybe don't cost as much money and are a bit more accessible, especially if you feel depleted and exhausted, because at the end of the year, I think all of us are kind of in that boat. So that's what I've got for you today. And this podcast is a sort of audio companion episode to an article that's on Future ADHD, which I've just hit publish on. And that article is titled Exhausted and Uninspired: 12 Self-Care Strategies for ADHD Brains This Holiday Season. And that article is part of a mini self-care series that is on our website that I have been putting together, full of resources. And these ideas and concepts are applicable any time of the year, but they're particularly helpful in this time, sort of between, you know, mid-December, when things start to get really busy with events and end of year celebrations, and lead up to Christmas if you celebrate Christmas, and then all the way through into the new year. And so I wanted to create a sort of digital home for some strategies and sort of links out to websites and resources and a place that you can return to at any time if you want to. So I will put the links for those self-care resources on my website, futureadhd.com. I'll put all of those in the show notes if you're listening on your device, your smartphone, and you can find those in the podcast show notes. So the way this is going to work is I'm going to run through the 12 ideas that I have shared in the article on my site, and I'll talk through them and embellish them a little bit. And then if anything piques your interest as you're listening, you can go to the article and find that tip that I talked about, that strategy, and look into it for yourself, click on the links that I share, and that way you'll be able to kind of pick and choose what works for you, because I know that not everyone wants to sit there and read a whole article. They don't have time, so this is a great way to already help your brain and look after your nervous system just by finding a new way to access information. So let's dive in. So my first idea that I want to share around self-care in this busy season is I find it really helpful for myself to shift my perception of self-care to something that I feel more motivated and inspired by. So I really believe that words play a crucial part in shifting the way we see self-care, which, if we find the right words, can help us reclaim it as a new belief or value that's important to us. And for me, I felt like I couldn't really relate to self-care. I felt like it was a word that was overused, or it's lost its meaning a bit. And so I put it aside and started exploring other words that resonated better for me and really helped me, as I said, reclaim it for myself. So one term I love and that I've shared a little bit already with my community is the concept of nervous system nourishment. So that one's an absolute favorite of mine that I come back to again and again if I'm starting to feel frazzled or angsty or just whipped up in myself and a little bit on edge. I really think of it like I think I need to do some nervous system nourishment. And I don't know, there's something that kind of weighty about that statement. It sounds, yeah, this is really important. I need to prioritize this. This is a big deal. Whereas self-care can sometimes sound a little bit optional, a little bit airy-fairy. So yeah, see how that sits for you. But that one really works for me. Some other words that I've come up with to replace self-care are self-attunement, self-nurturing, self-holding, self-soothing, self-replenishment, self-listening, and self-giving. Which words resonate for you from that list? I'd love to know. And I'd love to know whether just hearing those words helps you create a little bit more space if you feel like you're feeling closed off and rigid and frustrated about a topic like this. Because sometimes it just requires a tiny shift in the way we perceive something to help us find new ways to access it. Number two, try this calming exercise the next time you eat. It really works. So what do I mean by this? Well, for years I struggled to meditate because I thought I had to empty my mind. And when does that ever happen when you've got ADHD? And at the same time, I knew I had to find a way to quiet the white noise. And I stumbled across a bunch of teaching on meditation that made it more accessible and way less daunting. So the way I started to think about meditation was that it's actually awareness, which I interpret for the intensity-loving ADHD brain as heightened, targeted laser focus. And laser focus, I can do. So instead of sitting on a cushion meditating, I began harnessing my ADHD hyperfocus power and attaching it to simple tasks like eating. This is especially effective for neurodivergent brains because I was taking an activity that I was already familiar with, like eating, and something that I did every day and was automatic to me, and I was bringing focus to it. So this unconscious task that I did without thinking, I brought focus and awareness to, which is brought to me a kind of meditative state. And it meant that I wasn't having to go from running at 100 down to zero and emptying my mind while sitting on a cushion, but actually I could just find a way to make everyday tasks a bit of a meditation. And I did find that that helped to create a bit more space and to quieten those buzzing thoughts, those divergent pinging ideas going off in every direction, which I just needed a break from. So by noticing every bite, every flavor, the smell of my food, and by slowing down the whole process of eating, I really found that was a strategy that worked. So I have included an example of a meditation from an app called Insight Timer, which is one of my absolute favorites. It's a free app. I'm not affiliated, I just love it, so definitely go check that out, and you can get the link for the mindful eating meditation, which only goes for 4 minutes, in the article in the show notes that I've linked. So go and check that out and just let the audio guide you as you eat your next meal and see whether you can create some calm for yourself and a moment of peace in a very busy day. Tip number three is to create a sensory cocoon for yourself. So if you haven't discovered sensory cocooning yet, you're in for a treat. Sensory cocooning has been the number one most consistently helpful strategy to nourish my nervous system and to hit reset when I'm feeling worked up, antsy, and anxious. I created a full guide in the article resource library for self-care that I created. So if you go to the link as well in the bio, you can check out all about sensory cocooning, what it is, why it's nourishing for your nervous system, and how to get started today, because it's not something that you need to go out and buy all these fancy equipment for or devices. It's using things that you probably already have in your home that you can access right now. And it's really simple and effective and often a lot quicker than having to go and get a massage or do a yoga class or something that's a bit more intensive or expensive or takes a lot more time. So sensory cocooning is an absolute winner, and I highly, highly, highly recommend. If you have a sore jaw or muscle tension in your face and cheeks, then tip number 4 is perfect for you. And I feel like ADHD people often get really sore faces and jaws because of teeth grinding, which is really common with ADHD, as I definitely teeth grind. I do it overnight. My dentist doesn't know what to do with me. apparently there's nothing you can do about it. It's just the natural intensity and hyperactivity. And the outworking of that, I guess, is that we grind our teeth. And so that can create heaps of jaw tension over time, which builds up. And often I'll find that I'm in a bad mood or I'm feeling, you know, angry or tense or stressed. And I'll notice eventually that my whole face and my whole neck and, you know, my pressure points in my jaw are all in absolute agony. And so I found and stumbled across this masseter release exercise in a Facebook group, and it was an absolute game changer. So I've linked it in the article. Definitely go and check that out as well. It's a winner. You only have to watch the video once to learn how to do it, and then you'll never have to watch it again. It'll just, you know, it'll be something you can do really quickly and easily. But you basically grab with your forefinger and your thumb, you hook your finger inside of your cheek, and you find a pressure point in the muscle of your cheek, and you gently compress and hold, and that releases the tension there in that space. So it's been great for me. Hopefully it helps you too. Tip number 5 is a bit of a big one, but I didn't want to miss it because I feel like while there are so many easy tips, like, you know, here's an eating meditation, here's what sensory cocooning is, here's a masseter jaw release exercise, those are great, but I also wanted to add a bit more depth and layers to this concept of nourishing the nervous system and why it can be so hard for people with ADHD or in general people who have busy lifestyles, who are overworked and tired and have a lot of commitments or look after kids or have responsibilities. And I think that often we feel like because self-care can be hard to access, because we don't come up with ideas or we don't have the energy to actually start doing these self-caring activities, that we feel like we're failing, we feel shame, we feel guilt, we feel like we can't be consistent and that we'll never be able to. And I wanted to share some of the neuroscience and the nervous system theory based on polyvagal theory about actually what happens in our nervous system when we have a very small capacity, when we haven't been nourishing it, and why that actually creates these physiological blocks to self-care. So I created a really short explainer video with some graphics because I'm a really visual learner, and I guess once a teacher, always a teacher. So it's a really quick and easy way to conceptualize what might be blocking you and to think about whether that resonates and whether there's anything you can do to nourish your nervous system and to find access points into self-care through those methods. So again, go to the link and have a watch of that video. I feel like the science helped me because sometimes I couldn't shift myself out of a bad mood or I felt like I was guilty or failing. But just that act of getting curious about the fact that there's a reason, there's a physiological reason that self-care blocks exist, and it's not your fault, and it's not a moral failing, it's nothing to do with you as a person or your personality. It's actually just, it's just like blood sugar, it's just like temperature, it's just like heart rate. And when you start to see it in those physiological terms, you realize, wow, okay, this isn't something that is my fault, but definitely something that I can affect or bring change to with the right kind of exercises and strategies to calm down my nervous system, to down-regulate it. So I hope that's helpful for you and let me know what you think. Tip number 6 is to create a second brain to give your actual brain a rest. It may sound incredibly obvious, but reducing the amount of white noise in our brains by writing down all our to-dos is a self-care task that is possibly underestimated, or at least we could do with a reminder about. So you can use the many templates in our ADHD planner to do this. I love the weekend and weekday get shit done lists, the brain dump pages. I even love the hyperfocus list sometimes, because if there's a particular topic that I've been obsessing about and I can't stop researching, often it can take up all of my energy, and that's really inconvenient when, you know, I've got Christmas presents to organize and different events to attend and doctor's appointments to book and the house to clean. So if I have a place to put all of my ideas about that topic and write them all down, it just relieves that energy in the brain having to keep all of those ideas in working memory, because that is just too much, way too much for us. So definitely write down all of your ideas in a notebook, or if you have the ADHD planner, put it in there and put it all in one place so that you have a second brain as a backup. Tip number 7 is to try sound bathing with the Insight Timer app. Again, as I said, I love Insight Timer. Sound bathing is not as weird as it sounds, and it's actually incredibly nourishing for the neurodivergent nervous system. So it's a really excellent, free and low time commitment way to find more peace and internal calm during the holidays or any time of the year. And it's especially good if the weather outside is frightful, you know, that old song. So if you want to try right now, you can go and download the Insight Timer app from your app store, and then you can go and read the article on sound bathing on futureadhd.com, and you'll get all of the info you need to begin. So it does kind of go hand in hand with the sensory cocooning idea. So you can create yourself a sensory cocoon using headphones and an eye mask and a pillow and find a quiet space. And then I have provided a short list of a couple of different tracks you can try. And I've tried to select a couple that are different and sort of appeal to a few different styles. So you can kind of test them out like you would dishes on a buffet and find out what your nervous system responds to. And they go from anywhere between 15 to 30 minutes. So again, it's really easy to sort of schedule and find the time for them. They don't require getting dressed and leaving their house and driving to a location. You can do them in the safety and comfort of your own home. And I feel like, is there anything more ADHD friendly than that? The reason that I found sound bathing particularly to be so helpful for my ADHD brain is because I really struggle sometimes to get out of my brain and into my body. And sound therapy has been a way for me to kind of use the sound and the vibrations of different tonalities and instruments to kind of connect to the felt sensations in my body. So one of the tracks that's my absolute favorite is a sound journey with Tibetan singing bowls, which when they're played have this really rich, full vibrational sound and in all different tones. And so when I listen to it with my noise cancelling headphones, but you can use any kind of headphones, just decent quality so you get a decent level of bass and of volume. When I listen to this track particularly, it just has a way of helping me drop down into my body and into my felt sensations in my body as the reverberations and the vibrations kind of move through my system. And over time, paired with breath work and paired with different strategies around meditation and mindfulness, I've sort of managed to find a bit of a mix that's helped me downregulate my nervous system and find my way back to a more calm state, even when I'm stressed. So I just kind of sneak away, and this is a perfect way to kind of prepare for a stressful family Christmas event, something where there's some interesting dynamics and you feel like you might be triggered. If you can just squeeze in 15 to 20 minutes beforehand to do a sound bath and to immerse yourself and nourish your nervous system, I have found that that's kind of primed and prepared me really well to go into stressful and sort of overstimulating events, both with auditory and visual stimulation and also with like emotional stimulation. So definitely consider giving that a try this holiday season. Number 8 is one of my go-to favorites year after year, and that's to listen to podcasts that feed your brain while you're walking or doing chores or even sitting still, because you don't always have to be moving. But I love the fact that I can listen to podcasts while I'm doing other things. And I think I wanted to mention as well that it is important for neurodivergent people to feed our brains, because it's actually an act of self-care. And it is dependent on our physiological state in our nervous system. So if we're exhausted and almost so exhausted that we're burnt out, it may be that this strategy isn't right for you, because you might not be able to take in any more info, and actually that will aggravate your nervous system and sort of wind it up. So if this is you, just skip this recommendation. Maybe go back and try the sensory cocooning instead, something lower stimulation in a quiet environment, just with music or noise or brown noise. But for ADHD brains that are tired maybe at the end of the year but not completely depleted, I've found that learning new things and kind of awakening that sense of curiosity and passion for learning facts or about other people, just hearing interviews with interesting people, or, you know, I love history and science as well. I love sort of nourishing my brain in that way, and it does, for me, feel like an act of self-care. So in the article, I've linked a few podcasts that are my sort of top either intellectual fodder podcasts or also just silly, whimsical, fun, something lighthearted as well. So my top podcast probably of all time, and one that is just always such high quality and also a mix of intellectualism and fun, is the podcast called Ologies with Ali Ward. And this one has won Webby Awards for a reason. So if you don't know Ali Ward, she won Best Podcast Host. She is unique and incredible. And she's also spoken about being neurodivergent herself. So definitely a good one to check out. Ologies is all about interviewing people who are scientific experts in different fields, ologists, she calls them. And they're always such interesting interviews and really fascinating. So that's one of my favorites. I also love the Office Ladies podcast. If you're a fan of The Office, the Steve Carell version, I know it's a bit controversial, but I never really got into the UK version, only the US version. So Office Ladies features Jenna Fischer and Angela, I've forgotten her last name, but Angela from The Office. and they're like best friends in real life, and they have a really fun vibe, and they kind of break apart each episode. So if you've already watched the whole season and you're looking for another revisiting of that, but not in exactly the same way, The Office Ladies podcast is great. I love We Can Do Hard Things with Glennon Doyle. If you haven't come across Glennon Doyle's work, she's incredible. She's a pioneer. I really resonate with a lot of stuff she says. And if you want fascinating podcast guests every time, hers is definitely the place to go. I love On Being's podcast called Poetry Unbound sometimes, not all the time, but it's a nice, neat, short, inspiring shot in the arm if I need it to escape into a more abstract world of feeling and sensitivity. And poetry is a love of mine, and so it's just a podcast where a few different narrators read out poems, and it's just it's something different. It's really kind of something really out of the ordinary, and it's not practical, it's not helpful, it hasn't got tips, it hasn't got strategies, it's not intellectual, and it's not funny a lot of the time, though sometimes it can be, but it's just something different. So I really enjoy that. And Of course, you can subscribe to my podcast, Future ADHD, which you're listening to right now. And as I said, that's launching in January 2023. And I would love to have you join me for those episodes when I launch. It'll be more sort of me talking episodes like this about different topics around ADHD, neurodivergence, planning, self-identity, self-compassion, mental health, some neuroscience explainers as well, because I really love getting into the neuroscience, and also interviewing experts and ADHD scientists and coaches and just different people who have really fascinating lived experiences of neurodivergence. Tip 9 is to see the long list of holiday invitations as an opportunity to check in with yourself and, if needed, set boundaries. I feel like the world gets crazy when December hits, and the invites to parties, the end of year events, the drinks with friends start flooding our inboxes. And instead of feeling like your RSVP always has to be a default yes, maybe start out with a default no and consider each invite in terms of what you need and not what's expected. So I really loved this concept when I came across it, of considering the invitation as a chance to check in with your body and your nervous system and decide on whether your body says yes or no. You can just literally ask your body. It's often really clear when I personally do that for myself. So you could just try it and see what happens. We really can't be everything to everyone. And the holidays are a perfect time to start setting boundaries, especially if you've struggled to say no before. It's a soft landing for the people pleasers in the lead up to Christmas. So I'm definitely a recovering people pleaser. And I've found that when you politely decline at this time of year, everyone gets it. And it's just a little bit less. You just don't need to give as many explanations. So maybe that's you, and that's what you needed to hear. Tip number 10 is to go on a screen time fast. The time void between Christmas and New Year is the perfect time to try a 1 day or maybe more screen time fast. I have a friend with ADHD who went on a reality TV show, Deep in the Jungle, and the producers took away his phone and all other modern conveniences, and they were taken away from him for a whole month. And when he emerged from the 30-day survival challenge, he said that the mental impact from going cold turkey on screens had a major impact on calming his nervous system and his internal ADHD intensity. So he said that even though he'd gone back to using his phone again back in the normal world, he was actually using it far less. His habits had changed and his beliefs and attitudes had changed, I guess. And he was feeling a lot better. And he said that when he looked at his phone, he felt like he'd never look at it the same way again, or any other addictive technology. So I just thought that was really fascinating. And even though I've never personally done a 30-day fast, I think it would be really difficult in our modern world, except for if you were on a reality TV show, maybe. Even like a few days can be really good. And even just starting with 1 day is great, but sometimes you do need those, like, that extra day just to sort of settle into it, because the first day can kind of feel not that great because you're still, you know, habitually reaching for it and you're thinking about it a lot more. So yeah, maybe that's something you could try across this quieter period if you have some time where you're not around people a lot or not needing to be in correspondence with people, and just take some time away from your screen. Tip 11 is to focus on your long-term self-care settings. So what are self-care settings? Well, this is kind of a term I came up with to categorize the sorts of strategies and things that you might do that are self-care but are a bit more boring or a bit more routine, or things that once you set them up actually help you ongoing. So those are things like maybe getting an app that turns your phone screen to gray so that you use your phone less. Maybe you could switch off push notifications for social media. You could use a free inbox cleaner like Unroll.me to manage your email subscriptions and just get rid of all of the junk in your email inbox. You could use the digital declutter or home declutter checklist in our ADHD planner to really start to get rid of some of the clutter in your physical environment. You could schedule annual dentist appointments and skincare checks. Just those sorts of things that when you're in the busy rush of life and working or study or looking after children don't get done, but actually are really important. And so setting those things up, sort of like your self-care settings for the year and doing that in January, it can be a really great time to do that. And the final tip, number 12, is to intentionally decide to have a sleep in. So why do I say intentionally? Well, often at this time of year where we might be taking time off work or study, and it might be the perfect excuse to slow down and shift our circadian rhythms. But the reason I say that it's an intentional choice to have a sleep in is because often ADHDers are notoriously not morning people. I know I'm not. And I love staying up late at night. I'm a bit of a night owl. And that means that if I didn't have young kids, I probably wouldn't be up before 8 a.m. But often I accidentally have a sleep in and then I feel bad about it. I might feel a little bit guilty that I didn't get up earlier. And so actually creating a space to intentionally sleep in or laze around in bed, maybe take an extra hour pre-breakfast in bed with a book, or simply pop on an eye mask, drown out the world a little longer, get a bit of extra Zeds in. That can be really nourishing because when we plan it in advance, we don't feel guilty. We feel like this is actually a gift that we're giving ourselves. Another thing to mention is that if you have young kids like I do, yeah, okay, it's going to be much harder to achieve this, but sometimes my husband and I have a system where we will kind of take turns. So I'll give him a morning to himself and get up with the kids, and then we'll trade it and he will give me a morning to myself. And often he'll choose to take his time to go and go for a run or move his body because that's the way he looks after himself. And I will choose to have a sleep in, have a laze around, make a coffee, sit in bed with a book. And that to me is just this beautiful, cozy, nourishing space. You can also have an afternoon siesta if you don't want to sleep in, or you could commit to having an actual early night, which again is something I've struggled with. But if I commit to it and sort of see it as an act of self-giving and self-replenishment, it starts to sound a little bit more achievable and maybe appealing. Then I sort of spend the whole day looking forward to it and planning it. And then when nighttime rolls around, I'm mentally prepared to go to bed early. So those are my 12 top self-care tips for you this holiday season. And I'd love to know which of those 12 ideas you think you might want to try first, or maybe you might want to try a couple. And you don't have to do them all at once. You don't have to do them by any means all this week. I know this is a busy season, but I wanted to share this self-care resource now because it's such a busy season and because often we don't take the time we need to nourish our nervous systems at this time of year. And we think about so many other people, and sometimes that just depletes us even further when the absolute most important thing that we need is to look after ourselves. So I hope this has inspired you. I hope this has given you some ideas, and go and check out the article for those links that I mentioned. And there are a couple of other articles too in the self-care series that you can do a deep dive on. I'd love to hear if you want to reach out on Instagram. I'm at future.adhd, and let me know which of these self-care tips you liked and you found helpful for your nervous system. And I will be launching my podcast in the new year, so I would love to have you with me then. It'll be awesome. We'll hang out, we'll talk to people, we'll talk all things ADHD and neurodivergence and new science and old ways of doing things, and maybe shifting our mindsets on some things and doing it all together. And it'll be really, really fun. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your time. And have a wonderful holiday with your family, with your friends. And I hope that you take some time to nourish your nervous system.